factually not true.
James Langford from Oklahoma, reaction to this big controversy, this showdown moment. Political chicken is what I call it. Stay where you are. More to do as we continue on AM 670 KMZQ.
When the whole world seems to be in a state of confusion, Andy Vieira and Mark Thomas help you sort it out. Join the club weekday morning 6 to 9 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
If you owe back taxes to the IRS, you haven't filed your taxes in a while, or you have a lien against you or your business, there is hope. Hey, Kevin Wall here. Whether you've been audited or face any number of other tax issues, turn to my friends at New Hope Tax Defense. Don't lose any more sleep. New Hope Tax Defense has helped doctors, attorneys, and many others reduce their tax debt and get their business back on track. If you have any questions about how to report your cryptocurrency investments or your gambling wins or your employment taxes or any other tax question, call New Hope Tax Defense. New Hope is not a call center. When you call, you'll speak directly with one of their tax professionals right here in Las Vegas. They aim to resolve your issues, not put you on a payment plan that could take a lifetime to pay off. Call New Hope Tax Defense, 702-483-0220. That's 702-483-0220. Or check them out at newhopetaxdefense.com. Call right now, 702-483-0220.
I'm little Timmy. I'm a tax person. I know numbers good. What are deductions? Audits sound fun. Let's get an audit.
You wouldn't let little Timmy do your taxes because he's not an expert and would get you arrested for tax evasion. So when your car needs repair, stick with the experts at Meineke Car Care Centers, your one-stop shop for total car care. Get a basic oil change starting at $24.95. Meineke, doing car care right. At participating locations, terms and conditions apply.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn. Are you elderly and homebound? Do you travel away from home often? Are you a business owner? No matter what your situation is, Rolladen Rolling Shutters will help you protect your family and your business. Rolladen Rolling Shutters protects you against home invasions and protects your business from burglary. Don't give criminals a fighting chance. Call now for your free estimate. Add value to your home or business. Call 702-878-1072, 878-1072, or go to RolladenLV.com.
Guys and gals, by now you know there are non-invasive and minimally invasive medical solutions to hair restoration without side effects, right?
No.
Okay, so you don't know. Doctors of Hair use only clinically proven treatments, from platelet-rich plasma hair therapy that uses your own platelets to stimulate stem cells deep in your hair follicle to halt hair loss and regrow hair, to the FDA-cleared clinical hair restoration laser that's proven to regrow hair, to neograft hair transplants that offer discreet, natural-looking results in a week or less with no linear scarring. All of these services are administered by Doctors of Hair caring medical professionals, experts at understanding how devastating hair loss can be at any age. Treatments work for both men and women wanting a natural, thicker head of hair without side effects.
Doctors of Hair, call now, 702-751-0086. That's 702-751-0086 or online at doctorsofhair.com.
Doctors of Hair, now you know.
Newsmakers, newsbreakers, and everything in between. Live and local with Kevin Wall. Now, weekdays noon to 3 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
The very future of our community is tied to what's going on right now, this minute, in Carson City. It's called the governor's education bills. AB 330 and AB 400 are the governor's education bills. They include opportunity scholarships, ending restorative justice. They're hanging in the balance, and they need your input. That's why we urge you to make sure you contact your member of the assembly or the state senate. And let them know what you want. They're in the business of giving you what you want. But they got to know what you want. Stay with us. More to do. You want to join us. You're always welcome to do so. At 847. I'm sorry. What did I say? Sorry about that. 844-263-8232. Stay with us. Lots more to do as we continue. Coming up, Scott Hammond. He has dedicated his adult life to education. And we'll talk about what's going on education-wise in the State Senate. We'll do that and more coming up on AM 670 KMZQ, where news is next.
Friends, it's Katrin Ivanov. I'm so concerned about bills that would raise taxes on Nevadans when we already have a budget surplus. I am taking my personal time to bring the fight directly to our legislators in Carson City. If you're like me and do not want to pay higher taxes, especially during this time of unprecedented inflation, please support my efforts by donating at MrsFixit.us, paid for by friends of Mrs. Fixit.
Hi, this is Republican Assemblywoman Heidi Kasama. I was elected for a second term this November to represent Assembly District 2, which surrounds the downtown Summerlin area. Please join Kevin and I as we discuss the current legislative session. As a businesswoman and legislator, I am focused on policies for education, safety, health care, and support of business, which I feel the Democrat majority has continued to erode. I will continue to promote sound policies that benefit all Nevadans. To learn more about me, go to HeidiKasama.com.
Live from the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa Studios. From the world-famous Las Vegas Strip. AM 670 KMCQ, Las Vegas. Locally owned and operated by Kent Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters reporting. The Biden administration is sending 1,500 troops to the U.S.-Mexico border. White House correspondent Greg Clugston reports.
When COVID-19 restrictions are lifted next week, thousands more migrants are expected to try and cross the southern border. Anticipating that surge, 1,500 troops are being deployed. The White House says the military personnel will not do enforcement work.
This will free up Border Patrol agents to perform their critical law enforcement duties.
President Biden's actions follow similar moves by then-President Trump, policies that Mr. Biden frequently criticized. The White House tried to downplay the troops' decision by describing it as a common practice. Greg Clugston, Washington.
President Biden's administration ignores a congressional subpoena for Afghanistan documents for a third time on Tuesday.
U.S. Secretary of State Tony Blinken again blew past the deadline to supply documents relating to Biden's botched U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan as part of a congressional subpoena filed by Republican Congressman Mike McCaul from Texas in his role as chairman of the House Foreign Affairs Committee. Blinken ignored the original deadline in March. Then again in April, McCaul had given Blinken until May 1st to provide the documents, but the Secretary of State refused once again. The subpoena seeks to descend cable from the U.S. Embassy in Kabul, a document that would have contained any concerns officials had about the Biden administration's plans to exit Afghanistan. Edwin Mora, Washington.
Writers of films and TV shows are now on strike. Picketing began Tuesday after the Writers Guild of America and the Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers, which represents studios and streaming services, failed to reach a deal. Late-night talk show hosts will be the first to feel the effects. On Wall Street, the Dow down by 367 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Dennis Prager here. Sue and I mean it when we say dogs are part of our family, and there's nothing like their loyal companionship. So we provide them with Rough Greens, R-U-F-F. Because we want them to feel healthy and be with us as long as possible. I know Charlie Kirk feels the same way.
The Pragers and I couldn't agree more. I rely on my trusted furry friend, Mr. Briggs, who's an absolute machine, and he relies on me to provide what's best for him. Naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black has packed Rough Greens, not a dog food, but a supplement full of vitamins, minerals, digestive enzymes, and omega oils that Mr. Briggs absolutely needs and loves. Trying Rough Greens for your dog just makes sense.
Greetings, naturopathy Dr. Dennis Black here. I'm honored that the Pragers and Charlie trust their dog's health to Rough Greens. I'm so confident that Rough Greens can help your dog too that I'm offering you a free Jumpstart trial bag. Just cover the shipping. Yes, dog food is dead food, but it doesn't have to be. Go to RUFFGreens.com.
All right, ladies, let's be honest. Do you feel like the person you see in the mirror? Are hot flashes, fatigue, insomnia, and weight gain taking over your life? Newfem Rejuvenation Clinic can help. We're a medical clinic for women, staffed by women, offering the newest anti-aging and wellness care. We offer bioidentical hormone replacement therapy, sexual wellness treatments, and medical weight loss programs tailored to each woman's needs. Our therapies treat hormone imbalance due to menopause, childbirth, thyroid disorders, and adrenal fatigue. Only Newfem offers the most innovative sexual health treatments for low libido, vaginal pain, decreased sensation, and even urinary incontinence. Our medically managed weight loss programs are individually customized for sustained weight loss. Let the medical professionals at Newfem give you better energy, better sleep, and better sex.
Help us empower you. Call 702-996-5411. That's 702-996-5411 today. Visit us online at www.newfem.com. That's N-U-F-E-M-M-E.com. Embrace the new you.
It's 204. This is your KMCQ News Flash. I'm Jim Dallas. Despite concerns about inflation rates, Nevada is expecting to have more cash on hand in its upcoming state budget. The Nevada Economic Forum has approved a projected budget of $11.6 billion for the next two fiscal years, a more than $200 million increase from what was forecast back in December. The updated forecast will be used by state lawmakers as they finalize the Silver State's budget for the next 2 years. The governor's office and state lawmakers say they're looking forward to working together and create a responsible budget for the next biennium. With the summer pool season about ready to begin, city pools are still in need of workers. Yeah, and they have to pay more staff for the operations as well. Las Vegas officials say they're short about 100 workers required to keep the pools across the valley open and fully operational. The aquatics team officials say the city will pay lifeguards $15 an hour. That's a $3 increase from last year, along with $800 retention bonuses. Last year, several public pools had shortened hours, including closures due to lifeguard shortages. Las Vegas has aquatics hiring fair this Saturday from 9 to noon at the municipal pool on East Bonanza.
KMCQ on time traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers.
Stop in now for a premium synthetic blend oil change for only $24.95. Meineke, doing car care right.
Got a vehicle fire downtown. That's Stewart at 10th. Watch for crashes Nellis at Stewart, Rainbow at Spring Mountain, Serene at Eastern. Those lane restrictions on Charleston continue between Pecos and Lamb. And you'll tap the brakes, Interstate 15 northbound, past Sunset.
Mr. President, it's time to get to work. Surely we both agree that the national debt is too high. Surely we both agree that inflation hurts American families. Surely we can trim waste and streamline programs to make them both stronger and more efficient. Congressional Republicans are ready to act to save our country and to make America stronger.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Number one, time is running out.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
So good to have you with us. Hour number three of Live and Local for a Tuesday, May 2nd. Always good to have State Senator Scott Hammond on from District 18. And for those that that don't know, I know we talk a lot about District 18, and you're obviously in love with District 18. But where exactly is it for folks that don't know?
Yeah, so if anybody's heard of the Centennial Hills area, which is on 95 northbound going out of town, it's that area up there, Centennial Hills, Centennial High School's up there. This is the exit before you get up to the Mount Charleston exit and Lee Canyon and all those things. So it's that area up there. It's off the 95 and encompasses parts of the 215 as well. You see the new second spaghetti bowl going up there, the Centennial Hills Exchange. You know, basically, it's that new spaghetti bowl right there. That's the area I represent.
Scott, let me ask you, week 13, I believe. Is this week 13?
It could be. I lost count. I just know
I don't
days.
Blame you.
We're like 38 days away.
Yeah, yeah. In that wild, hard to believe it. Give me where you think we are. Are we ready to pass some bills, get some bills signed, get some bills vetoed? Where are we in the process?
I think I started talking to you about, you know, how many bills have been sent over to the governor, how many bills we've passed out of this body, out of our house, over to the other house, and then how many bills have gone over to the governor. I think we started doing this about, I want to say about 5-6 weeks ago, maybe even more, yeah. 7 weeks ago. And I think I told you then, what was it, 5 bills back then?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, we're still sitting at 5.
Is that right?
Yeah,
so tell me what's happening. Is everybody out for coffee all day?
No, so what we're doing, we're still passing. We're hearing bills. We're passing bills. We're not passing them out of our committees. We just finally had that deadline where we had to pass bills out of a house, right? You had to get them out of one house and over to the other house in order to keep it alive. So that's happened, and we did that. And now we've got all the assembly bills over in the Senate, and the assembly has all the Senate bills. The assembly seems to be passing more bills out, but they're not passing them over to the governor's office. They have to transmit them over there. That's the final procedure in this whole puzzle, right? You transmit them over to the governor. The governor then signs them, has a certain number of days to sign them and so forth. But they just haven't. They're just kind of holding them in the committees.
Why are they holding on to them? Is that strategy?
I think it is, but, you know, we weren't sure a couple of weeks ago. We didn't know for sure if it was strategy, but it certainly seems like it by now, right? I mean, there's just – by this time in 2019, I would venture, and I haven't looked this up to you know, for sure, but I would say that the governor in 2019 probably had about 105 to 115 bills on his desk that he, you know, had a chance to sign by this time. So we're at 5 bills.
Wow.
So I think that there is some strategy in there. And I told you what it was before, that, you know, if you wait to the very end of the session and you have him sign those, and some of the bills obviously are going to be vetoed. Well, the next legislative body, because he signs them so late, now has a chance to overturn those vetoes, basically putting into law all those bills that he would have vetoed this time. And they don't have to go through the process next time. They'll already be done. So I don't know if that's the strategy or not. It certainly smells like that, you know. I just can't believe it. We're slow playing it this badly without having some sort of rationale for it. And I think that's got to be it, right? In my mind, that's what it is.
Scott, it seems as if they're trying to usurp the power of the majority. You know, the fact you've got the governor, and the governor has a veto pen, and if he wants to sign a veto, it's vetoed. You're saying he can sign a veto and the bill can still be alive?
The bill, well, yeah, because what happens, it happens every session. The beginning of every new session, there's a list of, you know, anywhere between, I mean, there's going to be one to, I would say the most I ever have is like 9 bills that the previous governor in the last week of the session vetoed. And we as a legislative body have a chance to overturn that veto. I mean, you can still overturn a veto right now. If a governor was to veto a bill, we could have it come back over here and we could try to overturn that veto. If it is one of those bills that we don't like and he vetoes, we in the Senate, because we still have enough senators, we have 8 senators, and that's a number that's strong enough to give Lombardo veto-proof power. I mean, he can sign that veto. And then we can uphold that veto. We can sustain that veto with the 8 that we have in the Senate. They don't have enough numbers in the Assembly right now. They're in the super minority, which means that they have the Assembly, the Democratic Assembly people have enough numbers in their ranks to overturn a veto. So now what you do is you wait until the very end. And then when that comes up at the beginning of next session, here are the 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, 10, maybe 20 vetoes that the governor has from last session. What would this body like to do? And if this body elects to go ahead and overturn those vetoes, if they're in the supermajority in both houses, then there's a likelihood that they can actually pass all the bills that died 2 years previously.
Which makes the 2024 elections for Assembly and State Senate vitally important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You just hit the nail on the head right there. It makes it gives meaning again to the election process, even more so because, again, you're going to keep alive all those bills, as you put it.
Again, State Senator Scott Hammond joining us. District 18, tell me about the governor's education bills, 330 and 400.
Yeah, so 400 had a pretty robust hearing. It lasted several hours. It started at 6:30 instead of 6. But here's again that, you know, we don't control the levers of power in the legislative body. There are a lot of people who were lined up to support the bill. The governor's position on education, making sure that there were accountability measures in 400 that they really want to see, making sure that kids had opportunities and opportunity scholarship funds. There are a lot of things that a lot of people, 70% or higher, 80% maybe even, really want to see changes in the way education is delivered. So you had all these people who were lined up, never really got a chance to speak. We just don't control when they get to speak, how long they get to speak. And it's frustrating, and it should be frustrating. I mean, I've been here long enough to know that, you know, when you're in the minority, you don't even get a chance to know when to go to lunch. They tell you when to go to lunch. And so here you had hours and hours of testimony. Matter of fact, I went home on I think the testimony happened on Thursday night. I went home that night, got to Las Vegas. The next day, my wife was speaking to one of her students online in one of those little, you know, office hours moment. And he heard me walk in and ask if, you know, Mrs. Hammond could allow Mr. Hammond, Senator Hammond, to talk to him. And so I talked to him, and he said, you know, Mr. Hammond, I was listening to that. He was an eighth grade student. He goes, I was listening for 5.5 hours waiting for my turn to be able to comment on the governor's bill and the position that I have, and never got a chance to let everybody know how much I support what the governor is trying to do. And so 5.5 hours, and the young man never got a chance to speak.
By the way, I know of somebody that testified in Carson City in the morning and then testified at Grant Sawyer long about, well, I don't know, 8 o'clock, whatever it was, later in the via Skype or whatever that is that they have. I mean, that's how long the day was for some of you folks. What is your sense of where AB 400 is? 330 looks like it's going to be okay. It's got some bipartisan support. Even the teachers union, I think, is supporting it. What about AB 400?
I think the governor is going to get what he wants, or he can get what he wants. It depends on how much he pushes back. I mean, I think somebody the other day said, look, what are the five priorities? You all know the five priorities of the government, right? Criminal justice reform, school reform, school choice, and then, you know, and a few others that he's really pushing for. And somebody said, well, what is he most likely not going to get? And I'm like, I never, ever talk about that kind of stuff. I just don't. And I think it's just the way I'm built, I suppose. I remember when I was a kid, we played games. I never gave anything away. You ever played Trivial Pursuit?
Oh, yeah.
That game?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they ask you a question. I have people, you know, somebody would ask a question and they go, oh, man, that question. Oh, Scott's going to know this because Scott traveled to this place or that place. I'm like, you guys gave it all away. You just gave me the whole answer right there. I know, right? I never give anybody that opportunity. So I don't like when they say, what is he most likely not going to get? I don't like that because I don't know what he's not. Maybe in my mind I know, but I'm certainly not going to take that position. I'm gonna assume that he's going to get everything he needs, and we need it. I mean, some of the things that he's proposing, you look at, the fourth one, I told you there's five. The fourth one was, sort of redoing the executive branch, right, in trying to figure out the best governance. A lot of those ideas came from the previous administration, and yet these folks over here gave his staff and the governor a really hard time on this stuff. You know, had the previous governor brought this with his chief of staff, they probably would have said, oh, this is revolutionary. This is inventive. This is so great. And I look at it, and I'm like, now all of a sudden it's, oh, you can't do this, or this will never work. I'm like, are you kidding me? This is needed. There's got to be some changes from time to time. And so this governance structure needs to change. And I think he's going to get that. I think a lot of them recognize it. Maybe they just want to give him a hard time for a little bit. Because they don't want to help him in his chances of reelection in 3 years. We're talking 3 years, right? Perhaps that's why they're doing this, but I don't know why. But I suspect that if he pushes hard, and look, we haven't seen him really flex yet. He flexed a little bit on one bill. He's already told one state senator that if a particular bill gets to him, he's going to veto it. And that shot across the bow, that's significant. You know, people pay attention to that. I think that he's got more of that locked and loaded, ready to go. I think that he's got to show that strong side, because he can get everything he's asking for if he just does that.
Can you tell us what bill that was that he would veto?
Yeah, it was Senate Bill 182 or 184. I can't remember. I think it's 182. It's the bill that would expand the city council in North Las Vegas. Senator Spearman is bringing that bill. It has some other changes to the city council. And he basically said, look, if you bring a bill that opens up a city's charter and that city didn't ask for that charter to be opened and changed, then I'm not gonna pass it. And that's exactly what she did. You know, you got to remember, Senator Spearman lost that race in North Las Vegas, was not happy, and now she's trying to change the way things are done. She claims it's because she's doing it because it needs to be done. That she's not going to run for one of these new seats that she's creating, but it certainly does look like that, right? I mean, the appearance alone, all of a sudden, you're looking at creating a new position in the city council, and you just happen to live in that area. That doesn't look good. But anyway, he basically said, look, if the city of North Las Vegas had opened their charter, asked the legislator to bring this bill, and then, you know, made changes, that's great. That's one thing. But you didn't. And so he basically, you know, sent that shot across the bow. Plus, you know, Spearman has had some run-ins with his staff, giving his staff a hard time. And so I think it was a shot.
What about voter ID? Is it still alive, or did it not survive the deadline?
No, it's still there. I think all the governor's goals are still there. They're all alive. Again, it's just a matter of trying to push for those goals, trying to figure out where you're going to compromise, how much compromise is necessary, but what you can do. But I think they're all still alive.
I've had a lot of people reach me just in the last 12 hours about gun bills that are not good for gun owners, but is being pressed by the Democrats. Do you know where we are on guns?
Yeah, so most of the gun bills that originated in the Senate that had Senate bill numbers, there's like three of them. And you know, I got a lot of emails from people saying, you know, this is a bad, bad gun bill, and I'm not going to disagree with them. What I caution people, you know, you need to look at the bills, and they change a lot, right? I don't think a lot of people understand that with the compromises and amendments that happen. A lot of times bills change. Matter of fact, a really bad bill can become an amazingly good bill overnight with just a few simple changes, right? Well, something really good. And so I want to caution people. I know some people had sent me emails on, I think it was SB 172 or something like that. I can't remember the number now. That ended up being somewhat benign, but also a little bit good. So I voted for it. I know people are going to come to me and go, why'd you do that? And so I'll have an explanation ready for them, because it actually turned out to be a good bill. But there's a really one bad, I think, Senate bill. We all voted against it. And I think there's one or two alive in the assembly that are coming over. They're still alive. They're bad bills. I wish I could remember the number on each one of those.
AB 354, AB 355, and SB 171.
Yeah,
and by the way, that's from my friends at the Nevada Firearms Coalition PAC.
Yeah, yeah, and there's one, like I said, there was one SB bill that, again, it was bad, horrible. There's no way I would have even touched it, but then it changed it, and it actually made it a pretty good bill. So, and I'm okay with that. And, you know, for some people who say, hey, you guys always vote against any kind of gun bill, that's not true. They always say that, and yet if it's reasonable and it's it's going to actually have an impact, and you know that's the important part, right? You can pass all kinds of bills, but will they actually do what you say? You know, are good or bad people, are bad people going to be curbed in their usage, illegal usage of the firearm? That's the key, right? We don't want bad people doing bad things. Well, good people who have firearms, who understand firearms, who respect firearms, who know how to use them, who know how not to, know when not to use them. That's not what we're trying to do. I'm not going to take arms away from people in that situation. We want to take and make sure that bad people don't get firearms. And so when that happens, we'll jump on the bill.
Again, Scott Hammond joining us. When's the next big deadline day?
Oh, it won't be for a while. The next big deadline day is really getting it out of the committees. You got to get them out of the committees, and I think that is towards the end of May. So right now it's just a matter of getting them out of committee and just working on those. But, you know, you take a look at how many you have, and I'll tell you what, I'll do this for next time. I'll take a look at all the bills that we have in Ways and Means and all the bills that we have in Finance, because those are the bills, those are stacking up, and a lot of those bills are going to be important bills or they're going to be dying. That's the big deadline, I think.
It'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. Scott, always good to visit with you.